Welcome to Akron, Ohio. This is episode 202 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are reviewing Cockfighter. Not The Cockfighter, if you're searching. Just Cockfighter.
The Cockfighter is a completely different movie.
Yes. Yeah, and we're just going to review the movie. So, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by...
Demo.
Sir.
Eva.
And Kyle.
So, a couple episodes ago, we debuted a thing called The Jar, and we each submitted a handful of movies that are readily available to view online, and movies that we thought would make good episodes for us to review. And the first pick out of that was Sir's submission, the 1974 film Cockfighter, directed by Monty Hellman, produced by Roger Corman, and starring Warren Oates as Frank, a man who travels through rural America on his quest to win the year's cockfighting championship. So to begin, Sir, I'm going to ask you two questions. Mm-hmm. One, why out of all the movies available did you decide to choose Cockfighter? And number two, why the fuck did you decide to choose Cockfighter?
Yes.
I'm so proud of you.
I really hope that you really like this movie.
He really does.
Had you seen it before?
I've seen it. Well, I want to start the way the film does.
Oh, God.
And it says everything about why I chose this film. Yeah, I learned to fly a plane. Lost interest in it. That right there tells you everything you need to know about the character.
It's really the only...
It's one of the most pared down... Like, we used to have this thing... I got it from a poetry teacher. I was homeschooled then. In high school, I went to... I actually got a chance to sit in on a class, poetry class. And just taught by this really great guy, Mark Jameson, local guy to the Coventry High School, or used to. And he used to say, like, writing a poem is like peeling an orange. You, like, write, and then you just start taking layers off. And, like, taking layers off. This is one of the most stripped down, basic films, like, ever made. It's one of the purest statements. Now, it's terrible. It's a horrible thing.
The line after that, when he talks about, like, fighting without making any sound.
Yeah.
That's Frank.
That says who he is.
Yeah.
It's just, as a, like, singular event that we'll never see again, that can never happen for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, this film is just, man, it's a gem.
See,
it's a strange and horrible thing. And for the very reason, and I thought about, this is like the first viewing where I really thought this, how much it reminded me of Herzog. I've been talking about Cobra Verde a lot in the past, like, probably year, and just how, like, I had never seen it and how horrified I was at just the ugliness, the racism, the fact that this movie could not have been shot. Like, there's no way Herzog could have shot that film now and not been arrested. Like, there's some imagery in it that's probably illegal. We love Herzog. And it's like, I mean, I'm just saying, this is a similar film where it's like, this could not be remade. It's singular. And I think, how do we confront those films?
I definitely got some Cannibal Holocaust vibes from this movie.
It's like, how do we confront these films that are just almost, I mean.
But to answer your question, yes, he has seen it before.
Okay.
Because we're times.
Sure. Oh, I've seen it many times. And it's a movie I saw, like, I found, like, as a kid, like, in high school, kind of during the, you know, we gotta watch during the watching Cannibal Holocaust and all that stuff. And it's just such a weird and, like, strange thing.
Did you like it immediately?
I think at the time, like, I saw it as more of a crime film. And then it, like, it really starts to reveal itself as this, like, very kind of screwed up movie about, like, the nature of not just American sport. That this concept of this guy that, like, he's completely soulless. All he chases is this, like, win.
This medal.
Yeah, this medal. And, like, it actually, the ending is changed by the writer, Charles Wilford. He wrote the original novel. And in the ending, in the novel, like, he doesn't have that line where he says the woman loves him, which is probably more fitting. Like, I think just is like, you know, that's it. That's just it. And he realizes he's quote-unquote free, according to the writer, however.
I didn't understand that line at all.
Yeah, it was tacked on by the writer.
Are we supposed to think that he's right, or is he delusional?
I think,
because I get the impression that she does not love him. I take everything she says at face value.
I wish that he had said loved, because, like, this is the first time. Yeah, this viewing really, like, her performance and that moment for her really stuck out to me. It's like, man, what a great moment for her to just be like, wow. To just say it like was
in. What other character gets to tell off a guy like that in a film? Usually they like cry and leave, or they just like disappear. In the boxing movie, they go to their sisters, right. You know. And very rarely, and she gets to, it holds. Like, it's not like he turns around and chases after her, or she comes back or anything. Like, she gets to do it, and it stays.
Yeah, and she says, you know, you're not the man I loved, and you never were. Like, that's like, wow. Like, it just is, like, devastating.
Been there.
Yeah. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
Was it devastating, though?
Yeah, because I was never compelled by him. And I don't know if it's just what he's doing. Like, what he's doing is gross. Cockfighting is gross. And I think the movie is gross because it, I think I found it to revel in that violence. There are moments when, there's a moment where he cuts the head off a chicken.
There's a moment when he rips the head off a chicken.
Yeah, there's a moment where
he stomps the head off a chicken.
There's a moment where we see him hatchet the head off a chicken.
We see some guy finger the butt of a chicken.
Yeah, lots of gross stuff happens. But to put it this way, so when he cuts the head off a chicken, there are a couple ways you can do that. You can have him actually do it, in which case he's murdering a chicken on camera. Or you can pan away, and we all know what happened. So in The Irishman, the scene when we first see Bobby Cannavale, they show him and he grabs a chicken and they pan up and you see blood splatter on him. Does the same thing. I know it happened. I can put that together. I don't actually have to see a chicken getting its head cut off. And I found the movie to kind of revel in that violence. Like, the only shots that I think are filmed in like any passionate or interesting way are the chicken fights themselves. They use slow motion. There's a lot of like close-up imagery.
And it was shot like a documentary for most of it.
Yeah,
like, you feel like
in the movie
you're following these people around.
Yeah,
and it has that.
The movie fetishizes the chicken fighting in a way that Frank does. So when she confronts him at the end, and she's like, "What you're doing is soulless and gross," I feel like I agree with her. But the filmmakers don't realize that they're the same as Frank.
I think, I mean, I don't know that I felt the scenes were ever shot to show, like, the
violence.
They're not shot, though, to, like, they're not shot to show the action of these two birds fighting.
I disagree.
I would disagree with that entirely. I think those scenes are pretty horrifying. I don't think that, I wouldn't go so far as to say that Monty Hellman is trying to make a movie to explaining us why cockfighting is bad, because I don't know that he was interested in trying to make that point, because clearly some people in the 70s thought it was fine.
People still do.
At that time, I think, I don't know if it was entirely illegal in the South, practically, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know that I'm definitely not trying to say that he was trying to make a moral point. However, I feel like those scenes are more, they're relating the almost kind of like, this is an automatic, this is a thing that the humans are making these birds do automatically. There's an almost a sense of like automaton that we are doing this to them in the same way that like Frank has become soulless and like has nothing in him. Like, those scenes are very dark,
but you drop him into this environment and he performs kind of thing.
I didn't see that Frank is like passionate during as much as he's just single-minded,
singularly
dead-eyed, driven, kind of the same way they expect these like Gamecocks to be.
I really think that this story is one in which this is really the only talent, like the only medium in which it could be told, in which I'm just going to reject. Because if you did it as an animated film or as a novel, like which it was originally, or as a graphic novel, or anything else where just the disconnect between what Mary Elizabeth says at the end, which is the conceit of the movie, is that what Frank is... I have the quote pull up. What does she say at the end to him?
Well, because you're while you're looking.
Yeah.
You're expecting... He wrote her that letter, and he says, "You don't understand me until you actually come to one of these fights and see what I'm doing." And I think a lot of times when we watch it, we're expecting there to be kind of like Adrian and Rocky, this like moment where she's like touched that he cares about something, right, or that he's good at something, and you know, or that she's going to say, "Well, I was fine," you know, that she was there for him in some way, and she is completely the opposite.
So what she says is when she says that, "When I looked at you, I saw no pity, no love, nothing." And when she just says that, you could read it as is it Frank and the violence that he's doing with the animals, or is it just his like cold obsession, his steely obsession, the singular mindedness, at the cost of his relationship with everyone else in his life, but in particular her. But then her next line is, I think that bird has more of a heart than you will ever have. And I think with that, she makes it clear that she finds literally what he's doing, not just his passion for it, but at the expense of other things, but literally what he's doing, the cockfighting itself, to be bad. She says the chicken has more of a voice than you do. So I think she's repelled by what he's doing, and she's supposed to be the audience surrogate.
Oh, totally.
So
yeah.
But the movie is, the production of the movie itself is doing exactly what Frank's doing. It's actually the movie involves the cockfighting. Like, we have cockfighting that only existed like many chickens died just for the production of this movie. So if you do that in a book form, it's fine.
There's no bathtub full of dead birds.
Yeah. No harm actually came. It's something you invent. But
yeah.
But in this specific medium, told in this specific way, I think that undercuts her entire point. Like, as the audience surrogate, you go, yeah, she's right, but also that's what we've been watching for the last hour and a hour 24 or whatever it is.
So we are.
Did I get it right? Hour 24.
Yeah, it's 82 minutes, basically, I think, is what the IMDb says. But
yeah, so I'd be curious. Have you read the book?
No, I actually haven't read the book. I kind of want to get into it. I looked at some of the other stuff the guy writes, and he's known for kind of his hard boiled. He's known for his poetry and kind of being a Depression era kid. So a lot of his stories are about those kinds of like underground communities and underground actions that kind of take place in America. I mean, I think that I don't necessarily feel that point she makes is like totally lost in that. I would say that I disagree that the way it's shot is really like glorifying the violence in that way, because I just don't think they're shot as action scenes. I mean, I do think that the slow motion scenes are almost kind of harrowing. I think that
whether or not it's glorifying, supposed to engage you.
It's supposed to engage you, right?
Yeah, also, regardless of your
reaction. I'd say that most of us don't really know what was actually happening in those fights, like which chicken was winning, which chicken wasn't winning.
I wonder how much of that is like if we were in that audience in the 70s,
if we were raised to appreciate that kind of a sport.
Yeah, like I'm curious as to like who this movie is for, really. But it is. I do appreciate that it is this raw view on this sport that I know nothing about. They don't like try to teach you. They don't walk step by step. This is how you play chicken cockfighting. This, and we tie these like spike barbs on these things.
There's quite a bit of information about cockfighting.
Yeah, but they don't. Yeah. They
but kind there's of not the normal thing.
Yeah,
there's not a character that's learning it, and you're not learning with.
They don't.
Them.
Yeah.
To me, that would have been glorifying it. If this was about a young cockfighter,
that's why I said it felt like a documentary.
Coming up through the ranks, I think it is much more in that. That weird kind of gray line of like, I wouldn't call it a docudrama, or I wouldn't call it. Yet it is about something that is very real for that time, for that community, for that place.
Mm.
And I don't know. I've been thinking about this thing of like just those directors from the '60s and seventies, the Mondo era, the exploitation era, like cinema as blood sport. Like, and I'm thinking about, and it really brought me to some of the things that Herzog did on film. Like with the, I haven't seen his documentary about little people.
Oh, it's not a documentary.
Or it's a movie about him. Yeah,
even dwarves started small. Like,
one of them catches fire. Like, it just, how do we relate with these films? Like, because a lot of them, I mean, they're totally you couldn't make them now.
Right.
You know, and like, some of them feature highly legal imagery or like just fucked up shit. Like to say it in a more poetic way.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we really relate to that?
So I saw this,
especially and it really hit me this month as like the Mandalorian's out and I'm watching Herzog and I'm thinking like, man, I like really am having a hard time sitting and watching this dude now. Like,
you see, I've never watched Cobra Verde.
I haven't either. And
I mean, if you want to be able to keep watching it, maybe don't. Okay. You should. That's kind of my point, though. Maybe you should.
And Thembo and I talked about this. There's a lot of movies from this era, like the 60s and 70s, like Holy Mountain.
That was the one I kept thinking about.
Yeah, Weekend by the John Godard movie. Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now is another big
Walkabout. All have scenes of like brutal, just like awful, violent sorts of animals. But this one, it's just like, it's so much of the movie.
Well, it's the whole point. It's the whole movie, right? Because it's about that thing.
Like, I saw this for the first time a couple years ago, and it was about 10 years after like the phase in my life where I really was like seeking out those Mondo movies, and I had already found Cannibal Holocaust and Cannibal Ferox and all that.
And like Cannibal Holocaust is a movie that I'll literally never see. Like, it's there's absolutely no...
It's the original found footage movie.
Yeah, that's the only reason I watched it. And
so
didn't need to.
I'm cool with just pretending.
So you were able to finish? Did you finish Cannibal Holocaust demo? But you weren't able to finish Cockfighter.
I think part of the problem for me was that I didn't know it was coming up. So, like,
You didn't guess from the movie.
Well, when they when they started tying those like spikes on the.
Well, I mean, like how much like
oh yeah, like how much it would be.
How many times
it
would happen?
Yeah, so I saw like maybe three fights,
and so like 20 minutes on the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I think I made it like most of the movie. I think I had like 20 minutes left, and I just couldn't keep going. Now, the interesting thing to me, I think, is that as you're pointing out here, there's like layers to this film. And I just couldn't get past the surface to really sink my teeth in.
There's an interesting metaphor to this movie that there's. I'm curious if you guys know about the production of it because I didn't see the answer to this. But he says in the beginning that it's interesting that a chicken is an animal that will fight to the death without making a sound, and he takes a vow of silence 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah. I said that.
So he's. That animal.
He's basically. He's fighting for his life, quote unquote.
But here's where that metaphor was lost on me: is that he maintains a narration throughout the movie.
It's not throughout the movie though. It drops there at the beginning. We hear a lot of him when he's talking about like how he's filing the bird's beak down to, you know, switch the betting odds.
Does the narration drop out?
It does.
It doesn't drop out completely though. Like there's not like a quiet moment where he like doesn't talk at all. I think it's way more at the beginning. But
the narration was not something that Monty Hellman wanted.
That's what I was going to ask: is was the narration added later? Because a lot of it doesn't really add much.
It didn't. Yeah, I don't know if that was a Corman decision. I mean, it's the movie that Corman famously said is the only movie that he made in the '70s that didn't make a profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I mean, I guess that tells you. At least one positive thing about the American audience.
I want to go back to the Mondo movies real quick. The thing that when I first watched it, I was expecting it to be more like the animal deaths in Cannibal Holocaust. And that was what I was anticipating. To me, they were not as disturbing as I was expecting based on other things that I've seen in films from that period and slightly before that period. And so I was kind of like, well, and I think the sound had a lot to do with it, that there wasn't a lot of, like, shrieking.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really... I remember, like, at the end of the first time I saw it, I was like, this doesn't seem like it was that bad to me, and I couldn't figure out what it was. But I think also, like, in, like, Cannibal Holocaust, those scenes were shot by a different person, and they very obviously show, like, they're cut in... Yeah. You could remove them from the movie very easily. They're there just for the sake of shocking somebody, and you don't really need them in the rest of the movie. Yeah. This movie absolutely does need
to tell the story
something.
Of the movie.
Maybe it doesn't need exactly the full-on detail, like you said, but it needs those things to happen in the film to move the movie.
I would say, like, I mean, Robert Earl Jones says a comment right after he chops the chicken's head off, because the one guy says, well, Frank, you know, he says Frank doesn't, you know, likes this kind of bird over that kind of bird. And the guy says, well, how do you know that? And he points at the bird. I'm not, like, we could go back and forth about whether or not you thought they needed to show it or not, yet to me that's weight on, at least there was a purpose for that scene. It wasn't that everything done in the film was for no purpose. I think it just really, like, makes me just think about what, again, what I don't have the answer for it. What do we do with those films? Mm-hmm. Cobra Verde, essentially, my big beef with it is he shows, like, numerous clearly underage African women, like, girls, like, that are either right at the borderline or, like, who, you know, are just, like, very clearly fucked up. And knowing what I know about Herzog and what he was like in those spaces filming, I don't feel comfortable. Like, I don't feel that people were, like, left unharmed on that set.
Right.
So it's like, how do we watch that stuff? How do we, and how do we say there's artistic value there?
Is, and why does it bother us more if it's a chicken than if it were a person?
Exactly. Like, yeah. I really, it's an overall question that is about, like, well, how do we interact with these films that, at least when we were coming up watching movies, those directors, like, that was, it was the cream of the crop. Like, Herzog, Lynch, all those guys, like, it was, those are the movies we kind of followed. And I think, like, as we get older, it's like, wow, what do we do with this stuff?
Do you think
we're facing the same kind of questions that I guess any generation has had with their, mm-hmm. with their fucked up content? Yet that's the thing. Like, what's, cause I think in this movie, I do think that there is a clear story that it's trying to tell. There's even a somewhat valuable angle to me about just how soulless the concept of American sport and achievement and winning is.
So how do you, like, what's your read on Frank then? Cause obviously he's not a hero,
no.
But do you see him as a bad guy or an anti-hero, like actually, a troubled hero?
I don't say this word a lot, and cause I don't understand it. I didn't go to film school. So I didn't dig to Kyle. Yeah. People talk about cinema verite a lot and trying to just, you know, are we just showing a representation of life? Mm-hmm. Frank is it's hard for me to ascribe any, like, is he a hero? He's definitely not a hero. He's really not an anti-hero. Because it's hard to ascribe any of that to him. Yet, he's showing something he's showing something in a very, like, pure, clear sense that's like a theme. It's a thematic element of the film, that it's about this obsession with winning and this kind of culture of that being, like, the end goal.
Yeah.
Is, and the win.
I get that on paper. I just never felt it from this movie. Like, the thing that he loses, so he kind of goes broke and he uproots his house.
Well, he doesn't even go broke. That's the thing. Because it's not about him. Yeah, it's just about, it's more about him
and that girl.
He bets the girl, which is gross.
He's not really financially at risk ever.
Yeah. But then,
that's the thing.
Like, those people are renting the house for him. So he does actually, that happens. He starts the vow of silence, isn't it, after he loses the bet in the hotel to Harry Dean Stanton.
So he tells him it's because you talk too much.
Yeah, he says you talk too much and you drink too much. Yeah.
So that was an out of order thing. I didn't get that.
I didn't the first time I watched it.
Yeah, it was a little like, who's this really loud, obnoxious guy? It's this guy. Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he had, like, an accident or something. Like, that's why he's not talking. But, yeah, it was...
Wait, that was supposed to be a flashback?
Yep. Yeah.
To after...
To explain why he doesn't talk much.
When the vow of silence started.
Okay. I didn't even get that.
Yeah. So,
but later, like, the next scene, he goes to that house.
It's Ed Begley Jr.
Yeah, that he ends up uprooting and, like, literally moving the house. There is narration in that scene, because I remember he's narrating, like, going into, like, the room, and the room was the same.
Yeah.
And that's after he's supposedly taken the vow of silence. I think the movie would be much better if you take the narration out.
If the narration weren't there, which,
and a lot of that stuff is tacked on in post, and, like, whoever produces it, I mean, maybe not Roger Corman, but somebody else, hey, you need to, like, have some explaining type stuff. But it took away from the kind of theme of the movie where he's the silent
type. But it was Warren Oates doing it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I think, like, and it, you know, it's that, this goes to that question of, like, is there some value in it?
Do you think there should be more movies like this?
I mean, I think that any movie that challenges the American ideal around winning and sport and nationalism and individualism trumping every single thing. Like, if all a person has to say is, I'm doing this for my family, and they can do anything in this country, anything they want, and we will say it's fine. All they have to say is, I just, you know, I did it because it was my dream, and they can do anything.
You know,
our obsession with, like,
you know, a movie that does this really well? Social Network. I'm being serious. That's really the movie on a much you. And different I'm glad scale.
That you brought that up because to me, this is the same kind of character, a soulless person that will like put anything to the side. I think somebody's entire house, will, you know, stomp a chicken's head off, like, or create
also
this horrifying.
I love how his response to her saying that chicken has more of a heart than you do. He rips the head off. And then maybe that's why he thinks that she loves him, because she didn't go running, because that was more brutal than anything she saw in the ring, I think, what he did 2 feet in front of her.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I do think that the ending, like, as it's given.
The fact that she like stood there and was handed this.
Mm-hmm. I think she handles it like a boss.
Yeah. And that's I kind of love that the movie has no redemption for him. Yeah. We're not really cheering for him to win because he's a jerk, you know, and we're not. I almost admire a film that tried not to go down the sports movie path.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting movie that I thought of that actually does go down the sports movie path, and I wonder if they would have done this sort of ending, if it would have been better. But it's similar in a lot of ways. The movie's Rounders. Have you guys seen Rounders?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, Rounders is a really fun movie. I used to, like, be super into poker, but it's
the
about...
The dudes who live next door to me in my dorm, my freshman year of college, would get drunk every Saturday and watch Rounders.
I've seen it so many times. But it's about a guy who's doing something that's, like, sort of seedy. You're doing a lot of backroom gambling type stuff, just like in this movie. And what I thought, like, one of the things I did appreciate about this movie is that they don't hold your hand and say, here's chicken fighting 101. We're going to do this and then blah, blah, blah. And Rounders is kind of similar, where it even opens on like a similar...
You're thrown right in.
You're thrown in, and they'll give you enough so that you can...
As they say, right?
Doesn't it start with him losing, too?
Yeah, yeah. They throw you in, so, like, almost all of it's, like... Very similar.
You're right. I hadn't thought about that movie in like 15 years.
They open with a cool quote where he says something along the lines of, if you're sitting at the table and within 10 minutes you don't know who the sucker is,
you're the sucker.
So it opens up with a cool quote, and then he goes broke in the beginning, or he loses in the beginning, and then the rest of the movie is about him, like, at the expense of his relationships with his girlfriend and other people, he tries to ascend in the world of poker. But where that movie ends, so I like the way that does it. And like I was saying, it's poker's kind of complicated, but it gives you enough so that you know when he's winning, you know when he's losing, and you don't need to know the details.
Well, and the movie sets up that the movie is him trying to figure out what the other dude's tell is.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not actually, this is something my great grandma taught me when I was a kid. You don't actually play your cards. You're playing the other people.
Yeah. But then that movie ends with him heading off to Vegas. He wins. He has all this money. He heads off to Vegas. And I wonder how that movie reads if he realizes what he lost by.
Oh, yeah.
Because it almost goes there. There's like a whole Edward Norton subplot, and they like get the shit beat out of them. And it could take that turn, but. It kind of goes the sports movie route where, like, he's off to greatness and he actually can do it. But I think that sort of subject would be a much more palatable thing for me. I just don't want to see.
I thought of another film that has a salacious sounding title, but actually turns out to be more of a character study of the person. And that's The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot. Mm-hmm.
The Man Who Killed the Hitler. And then
Is it the Hitler?
No.
The Man Who Killed the Hitler and...
We're just throwing the into any movie title.
Right.
Who's the thus? Come on.
So, like, The Man Who Killed Hitler and then The Bigfoot, many of the reviews that I've encountered for it are like, oh, you know, it sounds like it's going to be this, like, action movie, and then it's this really beautiful study of this old man, and it's not. It's kind of a mess. And I feel like that's what the movie wanted to do, and it really didn't achieve it. I think that Cockfighter does a much better job at towing a line between salacious content and a character study more than The Man Who Killed Hitler did.
I actually like the Maynard Cobalt.
You liked it more than I do.
I think
Sam Elliott and it's
yeah. Oh, Sam Elliott.
You really
Sam Elliott is in it, and he does both of the things that the title says will happen.
And the way he does it, it's man. And I think there's a matte painting in it. I just have a feeling there is.
No,
was it matte paints in it? I thought that Cockfighter was like not. I don't know if compelling is the right way to say it, but it's like it was kind of mesmerizing how they showed off all of like this sport and that mm-hmm. most of us, all of us, don't know anything about. But I just think the story wasn't that interesting. Like when they introduced the some of these side characters where they lost their chicken, so they had to attack War Notes or the weird robbery that happened.
I was gonna say,
which was like out of a cartoon. It's kind of like it was like,
part of it is like I originally found out about it. You guys remember how obsessed I was with crime film.
Is it supposed to be like a dark comedy films
than anybody? And like, yeah, it's that's where I kind of found it because it's kind of it's in that genre basically, mm-hmm. but just like this is a slice of Southern kind of underground life. And I think like every character in it just, man, they really, it feels like they know it. And when you look at the backstory of some of these actors, like they really are from that, like that place or that lifestyle.
That's why I said it felt like a documentary. Like it felt like they were actually
like Harry Dean Stanton.
They might've known this is probably somebody one of who did
his
that.
Realist, like
his partner, I think was my favorite. But
oh yeah, the guy who's like
who pours the champagne and three glasses and who had that giant complex of all the chicken coops or whatever. Ooh. Yeah,
Robert Earl Jones is in it, the father of James Earl Jones, who knew Langston Hughes, who was a sparring partner of Joe Louis.
Yep, like, erstwhile professional boxer.
Like, yeah, it's a really weird movie. It's
got some, do you okay? Like, I forget. There's a game. Death Stranding is like a game where like people either love it or hate it. And talking about fun in video games, but like, would you find yourself recommending Cockfighter to most people?
I'm really like funny about recommendations. Yeah, like I don't know if I would say that I have a rec that's just for everybody.
Yeah,
you know, like,
but like.
This wouldn't go on my list of movies everybody should watch. No, I think that like if you are, I think it's an important movie for like filmmakers, storytellers to at least watch. Like I do, and I think like there's a lot of great performances in it. Like acting wise,
you're right. And for me,
it's really, really good.
I went through
some of that is like casting, yet a lot of it is just. They've really got into it. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of a remarkable combination of actors for a Roger Corman film in the mid-70s. I mean, usually when we think of like Roger Corman films with notable actors, it's further back into the 60s when they were still getting started. Mm-hmm. For me, like, I went through like an introspective, why do I like the things that I keep watching? Kind of, do I like the things that I'm watching? Like, what do I like about them? I went through that, like more than 10 years ago, you know, to think about like, what is the, you know, why am I collecting these things? Like, why am I doing this? And I think that this could be a film for somebody who seems to enjoy collecting those kinds of things or seems to enjoy indulging in those kinds of films. Like, here's one that it's a lot easier to have a visceral negative reaction to because they're birds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we actually counted how many birds died, compared to how many people die in a Godzilla film, how many people die in a slasher film?
I think that's one thing I've heard. Why is it different?
Exploitation.
Yeah, but
thing,
I mean,
I think one of the things
because actual death out, versus
one thing. Though.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Twilight Zone movie has three actual dead people.
Yeah but I've never watched.
I haven't seen it because of
you've the, never seen it.
No.
Yeah, I've never watched that.
One thing that you mentioned somebody who likes these other kinds of movies. I do think that fans of like exploitation film, fans of gore, which I don't think anyone here really is.
I can't say that I'm not.
I like in that horror. But I don't know. I'm not really drawn to the splatter as much.
I think that like Well, I can't say anything about violence in film because of how many crime dramas I like and love. Like, it just is no. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, what I'm trying to say is basically, like, there are, and I think I've heard you say this quote, you know, like, basically, some movies, it's showing the people who think they like something, like, what it really is.
Exactly.
In a way that, like, is challenging.
Exactly.
I do think that, like, I don't know. I just feel like our generation's got a reckoning. And all this, like, Herzog love, maybe that's what really, like, brought it up. Yeah. I was just like, man, we've got to work through some of these movies. I mean, everybody just got to figure out, because, like, how do you, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, oh, I'll just recommend this one. We just erase, you know, pretend Copa Verde never happened. No, it happened. It's part of his catalog. It's part of the conversation.
Well, and, like, for. And
this is the same. Harry Dean Stanton just passed, and everybody was like, oh, Harry Dean Stanton, lucky, so good. Like, he's got a couple other movies that are, like, sketch, I guess.
Well, yeah. And nobody's that attached to Monty Hellman anymore. Nobody's going, you know, nobody's really putting Monty Hellman up on a pedestal.
You mean people don't remember the acid western and how he revolutionized that entire genre?
No, not people our age.
Created it? Mm-hmm. Wow, I do.
And I saw it on so PCM. You're not going to have the same conversation about, like, nuance or about appreciating, like, something on a technical level that people sometimes go into with other filmmakers that have done, you know, problematic films. We want to start talking about, well, it's really well made, or they're just kind of crazy, or whatever it is. Nobody's doing that for Monty Hellman. So it's a lot easier to reject Cockfighter on that level because it's a Roger Corman film, because it's Monty Hellman.
Yeah, just to, like, to conclude the thought that you were saying, the difference between, you know,
yeah, Godzilla and Cockfighter,
a handful of chickens versus, you know, 10,000 people who didn't actually die. Like, there's more tangible, like, real literal death.
Is it really?
The former.
I mean, they're chickens. And how many chickens die for McDonald's?
But it also doesn't help that people are in this ring cheering on this thing and, like,
yeah, it's weird because, like, there's two really,
like,
good
two people
here,
like a crowd of people really wanting, like, these chickens to kill each other. Like,
not both of them.
And, like, what you're saying,
there's a both and here where I think that we're removed from a lot of violence that we.
Perpetrate and benefit from
and very much benefit from,
but that's why no one watches documentaries of how McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different
thing. Like, actual cockfighting clearly is a terrible blood sport.
Yeah, that's a different argument. You know, I mean, we can talk about, like, the hypocrisy of, like, being against violence to animals on screen while, you know, not being vegetarian or vegan. That's fine. Like, I'll give that hypocrisy of an argument, but to equate, you know, actual violence to animals on screen to fictional human deaths, I think is not fair.
I mean, does anybody enjoy watching the people die in Godzilla? Is that what you're watching it for? I don't think so.
Well, yeah, and I hear your point there that I don't think everybody that watches Cockfighter is watching it to watch.
No one's
cockfights.
Except for that guy that was eating chicken while.
That dude
while watching
showed
the
up on
cockfighter
to just see a free cockfight. Which
that was
based on what the, like, extras look like. I think that's what a lot of people were there for. I'm pretty sure those were just actual events.
For some reason that shot, it was like a 2 second shot of this guy eating chicken while watching the cockfight. I was like, it gave me
there's something that should be pointed out too, that from my understanding, Hellman is not a part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
That there's an exploitative element to a degree that you might say is Hellman critiquing this group of people in a certain way as a filmmaker.
Yeah, and, like,
I didn't see that, and I don't see it as Hellman trying to show exciting scenes of cockfighting as much as he's making a typically of the time, to me, very careless. He's pointing his lens in a way that's kind of typical of the time.
I mean, I could see if this was all documentary, like if it was just a documentary, then that argument could be made. But the fact that
you had to create an environment for this to happen.
Yeah. It's artificial. Like he's not showing other people doing it. He's showing,
everyone else is acting except for the chickens. Yeah. Like, the chickens are
they're doing it for real. Yeah,
the chickens are really going after each other. Well, which we see these fights. How many? Like, I don't even know how they even film this. Like, how do you guarantee a chicken's going to win a fight?
Well, that, I thought about that so much during the movie.
Yeah, like, how do you make sure, like, how many takes did it take to make sure that the brown chicken beat the white chicken?
If we assume it's 50, if we assume it's 50-50, like, if they're not, like, rigging it in some way, then...
Unless the white chicken was not a up to caliber fighting chicken. Yeah,
there may have been many more cockfights that are on the cutting room floor.
Yeah. My thought is that they had a bunch of chickens that looked like...
You mean in the bathtub.
Oh, in the bathtub? Well, that's, yeah. I mean, I was talking about the actual live fight. Like, how do you guarantee that the right chicken wins?
Also, I love how that's building up to this final fight. And the final fight just feels like
the rest
of the other fights that happened. Which, I mean, that's
special about any of them.
It's like
mind-numbing violence.
I guess I sound like kind of like flippant about like chicken deaths today. That's okay.
Chicken is delicious.
In cockfighting,
I don't know why
we know that there's an ending because one of them is going to die. This is a battle that we fight until one of them dies.
Yeah.
Is that, I think that like the fact that the death happens within the game, within the event, is an important separation from other violent physical sports that we enjoy. People die from playing football.
Yeah.
They don't die during the game. We don't play the game until they die. But they're going to die because of what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And it's happened long enough that we all know every Sunday, like today when we're taping on Sunday, somebody's going to get hurt in a way that eventually is going to kill them.
Well, I hate football too.
You might.
But they also don't play to kill each other.
But it's going to happen.
They don't play to not kill each other, though. Right. And that's serious. I'm not saying that to be funny. Like, they definitely don't play to not. I mean, we just heard Shannon Sharp say on his show with, who's that guy I don't like?
But he probably said
Stephen A. Smith.
Skip
Bayless.
Yeah, he's talking to Skip Bayless. He's like, football is a sport where you're legally allowed and required to assault another person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Just saying, we're okay with
that. That's
it.
You know,
I can't do that at my job. If somebody's in my way on the way to the copy machine, I can't just like lower my shoulder and just nail them.
You could.
I mean, you could.
No, I have a whole like violence in the workplace policy.
Just make sure the referees aren't watching.
The whistle didn't blow. I was within my.
Someone threw a
you were
flag.
Not defenseless.
So on my podcast, sir, we stopped doing like score reviews and instead we started saying whether we recommended the movie or not and who we recommend the movie for.
Who would we go around?
I mean,
oh yeah, well, so I'll
we could, but yeah, usually you should start.
Yeah, I would say that Cockfighter is part of a group of movies that they're not going anywhere. Like so many of the actors that we talk about as having great careers and like loving them, like they made some really questionable stuff. And I think that there's a way to interact with it. There's always a way to interact with history. And there's always a reason to interact with history. If you're not learning about like the right and wrong ways to tell a story, then you're not a real storyteller. So, I mean, I definitely don't feel like these movies should just be buried. I think as a black person living in the U.S., I've watched many a film that has very deep-seated and abhorrent themes to me. And yet, it's part of the history. And especially as an artist, like I want to see it. I think I would recommend this to anybody who writes movies or writes stories about violence. Like, anybody, if you like, because I think there's some clues here. Like, Nick, you point out some stuff of like how it's done. And yeah, if you're into like Southern crime and you want to know what the underground of the South was like, then yeah, I guess this is a pretty good movie for that. Like, yeah, it really is. And it's Harry Dean Stanton's one of his best performances, one of Warren Oates' best performances too.
I would recommend it. I would recommend it to Roger Corman and AIP completists. Cause you're not done until you watch Cockfighter. And a lot of what I've already said about people who are avid consumers of violent film.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend it to my friends, but they're also just very sensitive. I love the, and we didn't really talk about the folk and bluegrass music during the movie. I thought that was really good. But Yeah, I think the movie is fascinating, and it is a really dark look into this sport that is we don't really know much about, but I don't think it's for the majority of people that I know, unfortunately. It is very raw, like we said. So
I don't know if it's unfortunate that it's not for everybody. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
that's the thing. I really don't feel like,
it's just, a lot of, I don't know. It's not an easy watch. So
I feel like, and I started to skip over, you know, my time yet. Similarly to Goodbye Uncle Tom, I want people to watch Cockfighter if I can write an accompanying essay about it. And like say this is the context of this film, because that's kind of what I mean. It's like a lot of these movies need to be like taken with some context and some discussion and understanding.
Yeah, I didn't really see, like, it didn't seem important to me. I don't know. Like it was interesting, but I don't know. It was also hard to watch, which I mean, that says something about the movie. Like, I don't know. What about you, Nick?
I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think that's a surprise from my comments on it. I just didn't connect with the character or his arc enough to justify the unpleasantness. But I think there are people who would like this, and they know their taste well enough to know that my reservations against it would not be deal breakers for them. So if you don't care, then by all means. But I wouldn't recommend this to most people.
Demo. Yeah, I mean, I can get into it, so I guess I don't know. If you're of my ilk where you kind of shy away from, and you guys brought up Campbell. Like, I totally blocked out the turtle. I totally blocked it out.
Oh, really? That's so baggy. That's all I remember.
Yeah. Well, no. Like, I straight up blocked it out.
That's all you remember.
The movie is about cannibals.
None of the rape got to you at all.
Well,
they killed the turtle.
Yeah. But. Well, I also didn't
get that battle now, Kyle.
It was so, like, there's so many things in that movie that were just like,
I can barely remember any of it, which I maybe that a lot, says a lot about.
Well, I
watched so many movies like that, like, because I watched like that, and is Cannibal Feral the same movie?
Cannibal Ferox is a much different movie.
Yeah, I watched
it's
like,
much better movie.
All of them in a big chunk, and was like, this is ridiculous. I don't need to watch this. Like, so I just turned it off. Like,
I don't know.
Just none of this is even remotely appealing to me. I'd rather watch my 4-hour
Hungarian horse wind movies.
No, I watched a movie that's Chinese, and it's much longer than that movie.
So there.
So
I was wondering if any movie featuring animal cruelty you might see some of the.
That's why. That's why I haven't watched Babadook.
I mentioned
how slow it is and how much it's about like the characters and it. Just,
yeah,
like,
I mentioned a lot of others that I like, but it's such a small part of those movies that I can go listen. Mm-hmm. Lots of movies have problematic elements, but this one, you just have to tough it out for 15 seconds and it's done. But this one is just so pervasive. If it was only one or two cockfights, I think I could have gotten on board. But the fact that it's just like every 10 minutes they're doing it again and again, like, I know what it looks like.
Because, I mean, I would totally like recommend
Holy Mountain.
Holy Mountain.
So you like, yes, so you guys still, and are you so, pointing out, are you guys bringing up Holy Mountain specifically because of the frog scene?
Yeah.
The frog scene is rough. I feel like there's some other scenes in it involving people in it that are not great. And I kind of feel like I need to watch it again, because like that's another movie that like, I got to rewatch it before I recommend it again, because there's some stuff in it that
there's a lot of gross stuff in it, but I mean, overall there's
a point to Holy Mountain. There's a whole story behind it that's kind of interesting.
There's so much beautiful in it, and there's enough to the story and the theme of it that overcomes it for me. But there's no hard and fast rule for this stuff. It's just kind of like what you feel. And this one, it was just a little bit too much for me. So
we're gonna pick for next month.
Yeah.
I think Kyle's got a last-minute one to throw in.
Can I have my...
I think I...
Anyways, might not what I was...
realized
go ahead.
They have to be on streaming. They had to be available, like... I think I might have... Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Okay.
You were there.
Because I...
You brought donuts.
when I
donuts.
Just perseverating on the donuts.
Were they good donuts?
They were great donuts.
All right, so our pick for next month.
That's not mine.
Event Horizon.
Ah, yes.
Oh, no. I've been avoiding this movie for years.
Same.
Oh, you guys are in store for something good.
Wait, have you seen it yet? You know what?
I've been avoiding it. I'll tell you why.
Is this still on Netflix? I don't want to watch something
that'll scare me that much.
Oh, it is terrifying.
Really scary.
Yeah, it's great.
The reason that I watched it was because of that Rick and Morty. There's a scene in one of the episodes where they bring up like everyone's fears.
Oh yeah.
That when Summer's in the car. Ship. Yeah. And keep Summer safe. That wasn't that straight out of Event Horizon? I thought
that was The Purge, right? Or was it Event Horizon? Keep Summer safe.
Not keep Summer safe
and like totally like, cool.
Totally cool with the general vibe and stuff.
Also, Rick and Morty this season is quite
overwhelming.
Elaborate.
Yeah. I haven't watched it at all this year yet.
I've seen two episodes.
I think we've had enough cockfighting.
We have.
So we're doing Event Horizon next, and then next week. So that'll be like, I don't know, maybe a month from now-ish.
Yeah.
Because right? We got end of the year stuff. We got end of the decade stuff.
Also, listeners, every Saturday, 8 p.m., MeTV, and Twitter, at...
On the Tropes.
On the Tropes. We do a live tweet of Svengoolie.
So you could watch a movie with us once a week if you wanted to.
So yeah, listeners who are always like sending in feedback and like, yeah, check us out on Twitter every Saturday. We're there. So just follow our tweet, ask us our feed, ask us questions. As Teddy Atlas said, we've been tweeting. Like little Tweety
bird. I'm a Tweety bird.
Yes, we have audio feedback. Do you want to hear audio feedback?
I think I know.
Is this just static?
No, this is... Yeah, we have...
I think I know.
It's just feedback.
It's just fart noises. Yeah.
This is from John Ducker. He's got... He JDMF. Sent us two. JDMF sent us hot takes and his baseball team.
I'm afraid to like hear his voice.
No, his baseball... His voice is beautiful.
He's a Brit.
Yeah, he is.
That doesn't change my opinion at all.
Like most of our listeners.
Weren't you here for his...
That was Paul.
That was Paul. You're getting your Brits mixed up.
You're saying they all look alike?
Top three hot takes. Number three, to paraphrase Ben Franklin, bacon is tangible proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. That said, the maniacs who put it into everything are monsters. Bacon donuts? Bacon ice cream? Bacon chocolate? You are ruining good chocolate and good bacon. Stop it. Number two, the recent Star Wars movies, they aren't that special, but that is okay, because Star Wars has never been that special. And number one, if you are in a trope-based podcast and you are going to have more picks than you are supposed to, just own it. No runner-up. No honorable mentions. Just say, my name is Nick, and these are my top three hot takes, starting with number six. Be like Paul from the UK. He is a madman who has often got three entirely different top fives for the same topic. He can't be stopped, he can't be reasoned with, and we love him for it.
Nice.
I like that both I and Paul in the UK were called out on that for various
reasons. That's brilliant. Yeah. Ah,
all right. You guys ready for baseball time? I agree with him about the bacon, and yet, I mean, it is quite good.
I was distracted by him yelling loudly. What did you say about bacon exactly?
You don't
need bacon on everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, it is good on everything that it's on, but you don't need to put it on everything.
By the way, you can get our new dish soap bacon merch at
it makes your roast. It makes your dishes greasy.
Yeah, exactly.
I like this hot take about Star Wars because that is kind of
it is.
I mean, I love, and this is coming from a person who really loves Star Wars. I kind of agree with them. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's a space fantasy.
Yeah,
yeah. It is a big deal, but it's not like. I know. Yeah, I guess when you said it's not special.
No, it's not special. That's the point. It's like everything else. It's like a Western. It's like Joseph Campbell's.
It's not somehow
monomyth.
Untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, Rise of Skywalker.
Well, if it's anything like the last,
it's going to be the biggest thing to happen.
It's going
to
be one of the best movies ever made. One of the best projects in the franchise. If it's anything like Last Jedi.
Oh wow!
No, that's
like
actually
we have differing opinions.
No, actually, no. Yeah, it actually.
I mean,
I feel like I didn't hear you right because I thought you Did you say that it's going to be like horrible? Because it's like The Last Jedi?
The best Jedi.
The best Jedi, right.
No, it'll be better than The Last Jedi because you can't go anywhere from but
because
up.
Because Rey's a better Jedi than Luke was.
I mean, Luke's not a great Jedi.
He was half dark side. Ultimate baseball team. Owner, Michael Jordan, because he knows baseball and he's got experience sport fighting aliens. Manager, Kevin Costner, as every character he's ever played in every baseball movie ever. Pitcher, the Kool-Aid Man, because he is literally a huge pitcher. Catcher, Huge Hands Hands, a one-off character from Phineas and Ferb. Name says it all. He's got huge hands. Designated hitter, Captain Baseball Bat Boy from Max Payne. First base, Doctor Who. I shouldn't need to tell you why. Second base, Power Girl. Third base, Spider-Man, because he's good at catching fly balls. Shortstop, Peter Dinklage. That was my wife's pick. Left fielder, Samana from One Punch Man, because he's good at hitting. Center fielder, Inspector Gadget, Go-Go Gadget Arms. And right fielder, the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, because you said that right field needs to be able to throw hard, and nobody has thrown harder in the history of baseball.
Very good. That's
very well thought out.
That's a gambling.
Also, the way that
it's a gambling reference.
I don't know if it came across.
It's an assortment of puns. That's what I really like.
I don't know if it came across in the audio recording, but he sounds like someone who would be like commentating like a sports event, like maybe not baseball, but like soccer or something.
I wish I had a British accent. Growing up, fucking Ohio.
How can the listeners? What's the actual URL to those recaps? Is it or how do they get to
if them? You just search on the tropes on the TV Tropes webpage, it shows up.
Cool. Yeah, listeners who don't know, JDMF, John Ducker motherfucker, also he does this brilliant recap of all of our episodes.
So. And his recap of those episode 200 segments is impressive.
Oh, I didn't
check because there's
I looked
a lot.
Yesterday. What? He got him. He got it all in there.
Yeah.
Because we said a lot of stuff.
They were long.
Yeah, those were some long ones.
I thought today's episode's going to be a recording session was going to be short in comparison, but
it's not.
No, yeah, that's why we started earlier. Because I have a charity thing to go to that I am not going to have fun at. Because as established, I fucking hate small talk, and I've had to do it enough.
Now you can talk about Cockfighter. Oh, you can go. Have you guys watched any interesting movies lately? How about Cockfighter?
Speaking of...
That'll end that conversation real fast.
No, I'll just try to go around it. I'm basically just going to go around and try to find anyone who's seen The Irishman and then talk at them as to why it's great. I'll be like, listen, I know you saw it and probably liked it, but let me tell you why I'm right.
Let me tell you why you don't like it enough.
T-R-T.
Let
me tell you how you're feeling right now.
I put that in the jar. That's the only thing. That's my only, my only contribution so far. I got others.
You know.
You didn't.
I didn't add any in there.
There's a strong chance you guys may complain about some of the movies I put in there, but I put in a short film in there that's only 28 minutes. I did not put in the movie that's 3 hours longer than that.
I'm just gonna put in Gettysburg now that I had to watch Cockfighter.
I'm gonna put in Empire by Andy Warhol.
Gods and Monsters.
What's Gods and Monsters?
Isn't that like
Brendan Fraser?
Brendan Fraser, yeah.
The James Wood.
Was it that long? I didn't realize it was that long.
James Whale.
Gods and Monsters really long.
But if it's Brendan Fraser, that time's gonna fly by.
So all these movies have to be streaming. Is that
they all have to be 3 hours?
They have to be readily available.
Is rentable okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought they had to be streaming.
Yeah, they'd be streaming.
I think they.
Yeah. We could get them from the library.
Like that constricts us. I'm having an issue with the library.
I thought we said Amazon or like Canopy.
I got to talk to my friends at the Akron Public Library board.
You got to do some time in the library, mine.
But if we can do whatever, I'm gonna push hard for Empire, which is Andy Warhol's. 485 minute movie that's just one shot of the Empire State Building.
How about the Yule Log? That's like
timely. You know, at Halloween, Shudder had a ghoul log.
What is that? Oh, really?
Yeah. I've never watched Empire, but it sounds like it's just like the Yule Log, only without all the dynamic motion of a fire.
Yeah, without the comfort.
You mean Empire, like that new show with that 50 Cent made a knockoff of it?
Did it?
That's not a new show anymore. It's been on for like 6 years.
Made by Doyle from Gilmore Girls.
Shows you how behind I am.
Yeah. Is Doyle?
Can we get out of here?
Anyway.
We still got another episode.
I know. We got to end this one.
We got to go watch Event Horizon. Whatever. I'm Nick.
Demo. Sir.
Eva.
And Matt Pannings.
We didn't plug any of our stuff.
Yeah, listeners, go to the Twitter account.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. Come on. What are you doing?
Redbubble.
Follow us on Redbubble.
We're talking about Watchmen in the next episode.
I still haven't watched it yet. I haven't watched
Watchmen. So good. I haven't seen it.
No, Nellie canceled our
HBO
because she didn't realize that Succession was on HBO and we still hadn't finished it. And we just haven't like uncanceled it yet. Because I've been watching movies. The Irishman is so fucking good. It's so good.
What is going on?